This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall. Ian Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Just going to get to our stock up, stock down here. We're going to talk to Adam Burke, our managing editor. Wes Reynolds joins us for our Wednesdays with Wes conversation. And of course, our best bets. But we do have some breaking news here in the NFL. Rather significant Ian Rappaport with a couple of reports coming out here. It looks like the Colts are not expected to put Sauce Gardner on the IR. So do with that information as you will. Remember, big one down there in Duval. Does not mean he's going to be able to go necessarily this week. In that pivotal matchup there, but they're not expected in place on IR, which would be a minimum. What about four games you'd be looking at there down the stretch? And also, how about this? Good news for the Buccaneers that feels like Hall of Fame receiver to be Mike Evans, having his practice window opened off IR. So looks like he's going to return to practice today, much sooner return for the future Hall of Famer here in Mike Evans. So again, do with that information as you will. Buccaneers are really in a struggle right now with the Panthers for supremacy down there in the NFC South. But we like to do this here each and every Wednesday, get a kind of a gauge in the stock market, our version of stock up and stock down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's stock up, stock down.
You did The Godfather early in the program. Wherever you get your podcast, go back and take a look and listen. VSiN by the Books. Every time I try to get out, they drag me back in. That's the way I feel about the Cincinnati Bengals. Jensen, I'm back in the Bengals. The stock has gone up. All of a sudden, I'm looking at it. There's actually a pathway for this 4-8 football team. I told you during the break, I got to look at my futures numbers. I'd written all those off that I made back in August and September. They're not great numbers, people. They're all preseason. I got them after week one at 725 to win the division, which I felt like was a great number at the time. You can still get a longer number now at about 850 to win the division. I don't think there is no other way for them to make the postseason here. But if they can run the table and get to 9-8, that will put pressure on either the Ravens or the Steelers to sweep the other to keep the Bengals at bay. And that Thanksgiving week win over the Ravens just last week could be huge. If the Steelers can knock off the Ravens at least once, then the Bengals would have the Ravens at home. Could be very advantageous all of a sudden, but it's all predicated on the Bengals getting a win this week, 5.5-point dogs against the Bills in Orchard Park. But if that happens, all of a sudden, just one win on Thanksgiving and this team's stock is going way up.
A lot of the stocks are way up for the donors of major college football programs as alums. Oh. The NIL era underway with no guardrails whatsoever. So the stock continues to rise exponentially. And the beneficiaries, the players, the coaches, the buyouts. When it's all said and done at the end of the year, you want to talk about an economic stimulus, my friend. Whew. There are facilities on these. I saw a great picture. The LSU athletic department, you know, overall, they're paying three coaches right now. Now only one of them is going to be the head coach. All right. So they're paying Ed Orgeron still the buyout. They're paying Brian Kelly still the buyout. And now they're paying Lane Kiffin. And someone put up a picture like, we're paying three coaches. And here's what it looks like in the library. There's ceiling tiles that are destroyed. There's tarps all over the place. Hey, we don't tell people how to spend their money. But man, no. Life is good if you are a college donor right now or you're involved in NIL. Life is good and those checks keep on cashing.
Kind of in the same vein. I know it's going to be an unpopular stock up, but my Bengal Tiger edition continues with Cincinnati. And now I'm going down there to Baton Rouge. I don't care. Whatever you think about Lane Kiffin, I totally get it. I really do. I totally understand if you're an Ole Miss backer, you like that guy. If you're a Tennessee backer, I can't stand that guy. All those things. He gets off the plane after basically going heel turn and leaving the Grove to go to LSU. And he signs the number one recruit in the country. I mean, at the end of the day, Lane Kiffin's going to recruit. At the end of the day, this is going to be a better football team next year. And you might not like it. He's going to put on the black hat. And outside of Baton Rouge, he's going to be the villain. But guess what? That guy turned around Ole Miss in 6 years. They did in the college football playoff this year, obviously his old team. So you can say what you want about the guy, but all of a sudden LSU has hope that they didn't have with Brian Kelly. And whatever you think about Brian Kelly, I think all of a sudden those boosters, as you mentioned, Jensen, the pockets are open. NIL money is coming through big time in Baton Rouge. There is no player they can't get. And I do think if you put the politics aside and whether he should have done what he did, all that aside, to on the field product next year, it's going to look better for the boys in Baton Rouge than it did this year. And that's why their stock with Lane is up.
All right, we're into the Christmas season. You know I have a hard and fast rules. We don't put up lights. We don't do any Christmas songs or movies until after Thanksgiving Day. We're into the heart of Christmas movie season. And at this point in the year, I don't know if there's a better one early on to get you into the Christmas mood than Love Actually. Stock has always been high for this movie. Some of the great quotes, of course, Love is All Around by Hugh Grant. Tell her that you love her. From Liam Neeson, who plays Daniel there. You've got nothing to lose. You'll always regret it if you don't. There is just something about this star-studded movie that continually brings you the good vibes. You love to hear it. I hate Uncle Jamie. It's so good. There's so many quotable parts of it. So many real-life applicable scenarios for the holiday season. Stock up for Love Actually.
I really enjoyed the shows with you and Mark Moulis last week when I was on vacation. I didn't get to tell you this during Thanksgiving, but Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is the best Thanksgiving Day movie that they have going right now. If you want to go back and watch that classic, John Hughes classic with Steve Martin and John Candy. I love your choice of Love Actually as well for the Christmas season. What goes up must come down, my friends. So I got some stock downs here. And I hate to do it to you, but you know, I'm going to watch Indiana and Ohio State, but there's no buzz. I'm going to watch Alabama and Georgia, but there's no buzz. The conference title games, the stock is down on them because we're talking about the college football playoff. The good part, if you want to call it that, for expansion comes to a negative, and the negative is the title games. Yes, there's going to be intrigue for BYU and Texas Tech, but it's not about winning their conference, it's about who's going to get into the next level. And what's that going to do to their seeding? We're always looking to the next. We're looking past the conference title games now because of what we've done with the playoff system. If it was still four, could you imagine the intrigue of this week? Does the loser of Indiana and Ohio State still get in to the college football playoff? Can Alabama, as a two-loss SEC champion, are they automatically in? What about Georgia? What do we do with Texas Tech? All of that intrigue would all be there for those games this week if we still had it the old way. And I do think that's why those coaches that we talked about earlier in the program talk about moving back the schedule to put more importance on these conference title games to get to a logical conclusion to the season. All of that can be corrected. But right now, if we're being honest, on a Wednesday, not a lot of buzz about these games. And I think that's because of the way college football has ruined, or not ruined, but at least changed their dynamic so that the importance is lessened on these and put more into the future that will be.
All right, I'll go quickly on my first stock down. It's not Happy Valley right now, Dave. It's Sad Valley. Penn State, they are in a world of hurt. They're on, what, choice 12 or 13 of who the new head coach is going to be. Whenever that happens, Pat Kraft, hang in there, buddy. I don't know if you could ask Santa for a new head coach, if that's what it's going to take. But boy, oh boy, the fall from grace has been swift since the firing of James Franklin. Stock down on Penn State.
Yeah, they fired him early so they can get the jump on the next head coach. How'd that work out? Stock down. I hope Will Hill is listening in the greater Connecticut area. It's for your Yankees. Stock down, baby. Because guess what? Now people choose to leave the boogie down known as the Bronx to go to Queens. The Mets are taking your players by choice. Remember, when Juan Soto went there, when Devin Williams went there, they got traded there. They didn't have a choice. They had to put on the pinstripes. Yankees made those moves. But once they hit the open market, guess what they did, Jensen? Bye-bye. Bye-bye, boogie down. We're going to Little Brother. When Little Brother has as much money, if not more, than Big Brother, then who's really the little brother anymore? Sorry, Yankees. This isn't the 1970s anymore, baby. And your stock is down.
Wow. All right. Dave, we are into the holiday season, and we have many colleagues and friends in the service industry. If no other time than to perhaps look past, I get it, crowded restaurants, you get sometimes the service you're not coming to expect. But it's the one time a year where you look past it a little bit. And the stock is so far down on people that are lousy tippers at this time of year. The only outlier, the caveat I have, you don't need to tip at the kiosk where no one is helping you at the cash register. You don't need to tip those people. Okay, they're just standing there. They're putting stuff up. That's it. They didn't help you go find, you know, your gummy bears that you're taking on the plane. You don't need to tip that. But hey, there are people right now that could use that money that are working the second or third job. You really don't know how much the 20% means at this time of year. It's the one month where I would say, do not be a lousy tipper. Do the right thing. These people are working their rear ends off to be able to make ends meet and probably make Christmas or their holiday season special for loved ones. Do the right thing. Take care of them. Lousy tippers, your stock's down. Don't be those people this time of year.
Excellent advice. Me and my boy John Chu loved waiting tables back in the day. And our baseline is 20%. Even bad service, we start at 20. You get really good service, we're going to go up to 20, 25, 30, certainly in the holiday season. Remember that, people. These people are working hard for you out there. We're going to work hard to get you some winners. Our best bets, they're coming up next right here on VEASAN by the Books.
VEASAN by the Books, right here on VEASAN.
We are back, VEASAN by the Books, and for those that have not joined yet, you need to do so right now. We've got an extended Black Friday special for one final week. So for just $60, you're going to get full VEASAN Pro access through May 1st. This includes daily best bets from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco, the AI prop tools everybody's been talking about, and 24/7 video access on the VEASAN Watch app, plus full coverage of every major sport from now through March Madness, the NFL Draft, and a tradition unlike any other, the Masters. All of this with our college football playoff betting guide dropping next week. The timing could not be any better. The Black Friday special ends after Sunday, so do not miss out. Go to VEASAN.com/subscribe. Sign up now. That's VEASAN.com/subscribe. We got a nice tweet from Billy Charlie Boy. I believe I'm saying that correctly. And he said, stock up to both of us for the movie picks that we had. Stock down, tired of what college football has become. We're with you, Billy, on that. That's a tough one. And stock way down on Jensen Lewis's accents. Jensen, I think you do a stellar job with your, you tried to do a little Liam Neeson in there, didn't you?
Yeah, it was on the fly. We don't worry. We got more in the holster there. So, Billy, come on back, brother. Trust me. I've done multiple reads on MLB Network Radio. We do our Premier League promotions and commercials for European soccer coming up. So don't worry. You keep tuning in. Did want to tell Eddie from the Brook at the Brook Bar. He had a great one. Love JLU 50 stock down the last 2 weeks. We talked about the people standing up at the in the middle of the aisle on the airplanes, you know, before the doors open at the gate, 100%. And he says, as a bartender, I very much appreciate the support. Bad tippers just ruined the day. Kudos again, Jensen, at VEASAN Live at D-Ross Sports. Listen, I tell you this, Eddie, you find me and D-Ross together and we're in your airport bar. If that's where you work, if we're coming to your local establishment, automatic 20% tip. So that's where we're starting. The better you do, the better we do. Everybody wins in that scenario.
Nice one, Doug Smith, who said to me and you, just began watching you gents from Maryland right now. Love the show. Could really use your guidance on a survivor pool to try and maximize my ROI, as I've never done any of the significance. I know it's nowhere near Circa, but big to me, and how to hedge best. That's why we do the exercise. Thank you so much, Doug, for watching the program back in Maryland. It's not just about Circa, people. This is wherever you are, like Doug here. And if you're still alive, that's why we try to do those and give you our leans to strategize best. So, Doug, if you can't go back, take a listen here on your podcast, wherever you get your pods. We gave you our top three choices this week. And again, some of those are a little bit more advantageous and maybe a little bit more boisterous, if you will, and bold. Or if you want to play it safe, depending on how many people you have left in your individual league. Let's get to our best bets here, because, by the way, thank you, everybody that tweets and watch the show. We do really appreciate it. Even if you don't like our rants on college football, they're not going to stop until the football season's over, by the way. Let's get to some of our best bets here, Jensen. And when you do you have any plays yet on conference title week here in college football? Speaking of, because I'm looking at BYU against Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to lean to the counter of taking those 12.5. Don't have it in pocket yet here, people. But with the news that Sataki's coming back, the way those guys reacted, knowing what's at stake here, I kind of like the idea of having 12.5 in pocket.
Okay. I can see where you're coming from there. The one thing I would look at is a couple of the betting splits here, and it would favor where you're thinking, Dave. 41% of the bets, 64% of handle on the plus 12.5. And that would be a nice correlation to where you're looking, a little bit more of a sharper side there. I do think, though, you're running up against a Texas Tech team that still wants to solidify not only getting that bye in the first round as a conference champion, top four team.
And that
I'm kind of anxious to see. Yeah, I'm kind of anxious to see what the urgency is for them. Yeah, that's part of the handicap. Texas Tech knows they're in. How motivated are they to make this stand up and really be impressive? I think I heard Greg McElroy talk about it on the selection show yesterday, or the ranking show. He thinks there's an avenue that if Alabama beats Georgia, Alabama gets a bye. And so if that is where we are, I mean, the committee will do whatever they want. So again, if I'm Texas Tech, it's pedal down. It's make it as impressive as possible. Leave no stone unturned. That'd be my motivation if I'm Texas Tech. To answer your question roundaboutly, no, I do not have a play on conference championship week games just yet. If I'm looking for one, I would think if you're looking for an upset, at least by where the favor is, North Texas is the only quote unquote road favorite outside of Kennesaw State and Jackson. Kennesaw State, 2.5 point favorite over Jacksonville State. If you're looking at North Texas, 2.5 point favorite of Tulane, I kind of like Tulane. Kind of like Tulane in this spot here to pull the upset. It'd be a short one, but I think if you want to be more conservative, I take the 2.5. Remember, John Sumrall is going to coach there. It's one of the rare situations where there's some kumbaya there with the AD, the department. Like they're all on the same page. Like, hey, we know what John did for us, but we want him to come back and kind of finish what they started there before he goes full time there to Gainesville. So interesting spot there, but no, nothing yet. I'm probably going to wait till tomorrow. See if there's any late money that comes in for the Friday games, and then we'll see what we get for Saturday.
Your Honor, I'd like to have some evidentiary material brought to the bench at this time. I'll call this Exhibit A. If you wanted to look into the futures market here to win the national championship based on the new information that we got last night from the committee, I'd rather play Alabama at 14-1 to win the national championship than the shorter number of Notre Dame at 10-1 to win the national championship on this criteria, Your Honor, that Alabama, by moving ahead of Notre Dame, barring a disastrous outcome against Georgia, right? And the committee did kind of leave that wiggle room open that they could reevaluate after the conference championships. Doesn't mean they're locked into the playoff, but right now, Bama would be in either as an at-large. Obviously, they win the game, they get the automatic bid. Jensen, I feel like the committee is trying to safeguard both these teams to get in, barring short of a BYU upset over Texas Tech. Wouldn't you rather play the longer number of Bama, that they've almost got a double chance, and then you just brought the information to the table, they could get a bye if they win the SEC? Where does that number go if Bama beats Georgia? 14-1 becomes what? 6-1?
Yeah, I was thinking kind of probably halves itself. I still like Georgia, though. I still like Georgia. It's a revenge spot, too. Remember, Bama came in between the hedges, beat them there.
Yeah.
you know, in Georgia earlier in the regular season. So I do think Georgia is going to be extremely motivated. And there again, there is another part of the handicap. I think Georgia is motivated to, they're kind of forced to play the extra game now. I don't know if they were planning on, you know, the SEC title game, but now I think if you're Kirby, heck yeah, you want to do whatever you can to solidify that top four ranking and get the bye. So you get the bye week that you didn't get here in conference championship week. So as I sit here right now, I do think this is a higher scoring game, Dave. I know both defenses have kind of shown that they've improved a little bit, but you know, I think they go back and forth a little bit in that one down in Atlanta.
We're going to get Adam Burke, our managing editor, get his thoughts on Thursday Night Football. Wes Reynolds is going to join us for Wednesdays with Wes here before we're done in this edition of Beaston by the Books. But let's talk about tomorrow night to kick off week number 14 of the NFL. Lions are 3-point favorites. We gave you the news. Amon Rice St. Brown did not practice again. Not a surprise. I don't believe he's going to be able to go. That was kind of the idea that we're getting in this short week after his injury last Thanksgiving Day game against Green Bay, which really altered that outcome, by the way. He got injured early in that game. That totals 54.5. You gave out a great number earlier in the program, shameless plug. Go back and listen on your podcast. About those first halves, the Dallas seems to play those to overs here, Jensen. 54.5, would you look at the full game over as well? Or do you think it might tighten up in the second half?
I was listening to our esteemed colleagues here on the network for a numbers game with Gail Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. And let me cite my source, because I think Kelly Bidlin is onto something here. He was talking about how this total was being lined as though this was way earlier in the season. And remember, you illustrated the point, Amon-Ra St. Brown, it does not look like he's going to be able to give it a go tomorrow. That's a primary weapon there for Jared Goff. I tend to lean with Kelly that this is probably an under. I wonder if we wake up tomorrow, Dave, does that number get to 50? I don't know if it gets to 55. I don't know if it gets there, but 54.5 seems pretty high considering your Cowboys have looked really good. And I know Kelly made that point as well. They've improved a bit. They've tightened the screws. As long as Trayvon Diggs is good to go in the short, I guess shorter week, it's 7 days, but still, as long as he's good to go, I think you're okay there. So I tend to lean the under. It would not shock me. You want to play an alternate? You want to get a little bit more advantageous or a little aggressive? Play an alternate total under 50.
Whoa!
If you want to get, if you want to dance with the devil in the pale moonlight.
I will say this too. If you have not listened to a numbers game or watched a numbers game with Gil and Kelly coming up after us, you can check them out on YouTube TV as well. I thought they had a great conversation. Gil did specifically too about the decision to go for two in the Black Friday game. I thought he laid 100%. That out perfectly. I know analytics guys, there's wiggle room in this conversation. Go back, take a listen. I thought those guys nailed that conversation. Adam Burke is going to join our conversation next. Our managing editor, what is he like on the docket? That's next right here. Beaston by the Books.
Beaston by the Books, right here on Beaston.
We are back. Beaston by the Books, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here on a Wednesday. I just saw what you sent me during the break here, Jensen Lewis, about Diego Pavia's asking for the president to expand the college football playoff. Now, I mean, this is, we're getting, it's chaos. I love it.
Executive
I don't know
order.
What's going to happen with the playoff, but do you imagine? Imagine that happened. We get Texas and Vanderbilt next week. Oh, my goodness. Let's bring in our managing editor. That would mean more work for Adam Burke, but I don't think he'd mind if they actually made that change. Give him a follow on X at Skating Tripods. Adam, what is your breakdown here as he joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line? What's your breakdown of what you've seen with the best invitational now and TV show that we have going? We've got one more week of chaos in college football. Yeah, we were talking about the numbers yesterday. Vanderbilt was 40-1 to make the college football playoff. Obviously, they're off the board today. Miami's still on the board at plus 650. What is your take on this? And how in the world do you kind of negotiate the gambling waves and tentacles from what we saw last night?
Hey, boys. How are we doing this morning? First of all, I think the entire thing is asinine. You get these interviews with these people who are in the room, and Hunter Yurecek specifically, and like, every week the goalposts are moving in a different direction. Every week they're manipulating some data point, some narrative, some subjective thing. It's ridiculous. Like, let's just find a formula based on the metrics or something like that and factor head-to-head in, I guess, but like, this is, it's a joke. It's honestly a joke every single week that they're like, well, you know, we only evaluate head-to-head if the teams are next to each other in the rankings or whatever ridiculous things they're saying. Honestly, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the discourse. I think that maybe there's, you know, some betting opportunities to be had in the futures market, especially if you're able to kind of look for, you know, outcomes that are sort of tied together where you can get a better price one way or the other by betting something that has to happen for a team to get in there. But I hate this entire process. Like, I'm glad we went to 12 teams, but it's just, there's no transparency whatsoever. There's no set guidelines. It's just a room of people doing whatever the hell they want to do.
Adam, I'm thinking of one response, and it's the Steve Carell from The Office slamming his hands. Thank you. It's exactly kind of where I went in hour number one. Okay, speaking of those correlated outcomes, one is probably tied to the Mountain West championship game with UNLV and Boise State. Common opponent here, Notre Dame will probably have a keen eye on that one. Size it up for us. I know you got a couple of great previews and write-ups right now at VSiN.com for people that want to check it out in depth. But your overall assessment there of the Mountain West championship game.
Yeah, well, I think something that was interesting last night, something that was a takeaway from the college football playoff rankings is that with James Madison already in the top 25, I don't think UNLV can get into the college football playoff, even if they win this game, unless they do so in very dominant eyebrow-raising fashion. And I don't think that that's going to be the case here. Look, I mean, these two teams have played each other four times in the last three seasons. Boise State's won every single one of them. They've won both Mountain West championship games by double digits. Does the same thing happen here? I certainly think that it's possible. I feel really bad for New Mexico, who got screwed in this whole process, by the way. They should be in this game, not UNLV. But, I mean, this line's been pushed out to 4, 4.5 in some places. Maddox Madsen coming back for Boise State. Threw four touchdown passes in the first game head-to-head between these two teams this season. Look, I know Ashton Gentry's not there, but Dylan Riley's run the football really effectively for this Boise State team. You're never going to fill those shoes completely, but Riley's at least been pretty good. I certainly worry about UNLV going outside, playing in the cooler weather. Could be a little bit of rain, could be a little bit damp, maybe not the best night for football here in this one, which honestly, that's why I like the under a little bit. I know the first game was 56-31, so it's kind of hard to like an under 59 in this game, but when you look at last year's Mountain West championship game, it was 21-7. Both defenses really stepped up. Both defenses made the adjustments. Ashton Gentry still ran for two bills, but you know, Boise State wasn't able to convert that into a lot of points. I think this will be a lower scoring game. I think both defensive coordinators make their adjustments. I think the weather plays a little bit of a factor too. It's supposed to be kind of foggy as well. So we'll see what kind of impact that has. But I think when you get a second meeting, everybody makes adjustments. And I think also too, you know, this is a situation where with Madsen coming back, could be a little bit rusty. With Anthony Calandria playing in the cold, you don't really want him to make a big mistake. We could see a little bit of conservative play calling, particularly early on in this game. I do think Boise State wins. I don't know if they cover, but I do think that the under 59 is the way to look in this one.
Berkey, let's stay with that same train of thought here with the Dukes now in the top 25, officially with college football rankings coming out yesterday. Taking on Troy here, they're laying 23.5. You talk about kind of eye-raising if UNLV were to upset Boise State. They say that margin of victory really doesn't matter, but wink, wink, I think we kind of do, right? We kind of know that it does make a difference. Would you be more apt to lay the points then with the Dukes to put on a big number against Troy to make that final impression on the committee and say, yeah, well, you do deserve to take, you know, two group of five teams in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I'm going to put the cart in front of the horse first and say that I think Virginia does beat Duke, so I don't think James Madison's going to get into the playoff. But because they play on Friday and the other game is on Saturday, there's a lot of incentive here for Bob Chesney to run this thing up as much as he can, accumulate as many style points as possible, and I think he'll have the opportunity to do it. Look, Old Dominion was clearly the second-best team in this conference, like without a doubt. And this is the only conference in college football that still uses divisions right now. Old Dominion was the second best team, and it wasn't even close. And Old Dominion beat Troy 33-0. And James Madison hung 63 points on Old Dominion. So this should be a boat race. This should be a runaway for James Madison. They're far and away the best team in this conference. It's not remotely close. They're a top 30 team, according to Jeff Sagarin, which is a very, very big accomplishment for a team that's played a very poor strength of schedule, which, by the way, their strength of schedule is better than UNLV's. So I think that's maybe why they're in the top 25 and UNLV is not really knocking on the door. But James Madison should blow this thing out. I mean, they absolutely should. They should want to keep putting it on just to get the style points, just to give themselves a little bit more confidence going into, you know, what could be Sunday's selection. So I think James Madison is the play here. I make the line 25. I think minus 23, they're worth a play, especially when you consider the situational fact that they just want to run it up. And I think they'll have that opportunity.
Adam, is there motivational handicapping for you looking at the Saturday games? And Dave and I just brought up BYU and Texas Tech. Of course, we know BYU's is motivated easily. They have to win to get in. Texas Tech, are they motivated enough to cover a number, like winning convincingly to solidify a top four seed, even though they know they're likely in, barring something completely unforeseen? And then even the Georgia-Alabama one, I asked Dave, I said, do you feel Georgia is more motivated for the revenge spot and to solidify a top four spot, or is Alabama there to make sure that, hey, even with a loss, no matter what, we're in as well?
Well, look, I mean, you know, you always want to win your conference championship game, right? So, you know, the fact that these games are coming up on December 6th, you've got probably 2 weeks in order to get ready for your college football playoff game. Unless you wind up with one of those buys, then you obviously have more time to wait. I think everybody is sufficiently motivated for the most part in these games. And we'll see if that's true with Ohio State and Indiana, because that game means nothing except for the Big Ten title. But, you know, obviously right. Alabama's got to go out there and play well. And I think Georgia would love to play spoiler and potentially keep Alabama out of the playoff if they win this game, you know, convincingly enough for the committee to make that decision and push the Crimson Tide out. You hate this team, right? I mean, they're your rival. You can't stand them. So I do think that Georgia will be sufficiently motivated. Texas Tech, I think Joey McGuire just likes putting it on everybody whenever he gets a chance. I don't know that they will against BYU this time around. I think BYU will be better equipped for this game. I do think Texas Tech wins, but I'll say this. Doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't mean a thing, but I think if BYU beats Texas Tech should be out of the playoff. It's not going to happen. Woo. They're not going to fall out of the top four and all of a sudden not be in it, but their second best win is clearly their win over BYU. If you counterfeit that by then losing to that team in the Big 12 championship game, I don't think you should be in. You know, your road win at Utah is fine, but you know, still that's their best win by far, which doesn't stack up with the best wins of a lot of other teams. So I don't think Texas Tech should be in if they lose. I don't think we can have that discussion because I don't think that they lose, but I do think BYU, you know, will play better this time around than they did in the first meeting. And I do kind of like them to cover a little bit. I make the line 11, so there's not any, you know, key number value or anything like that, but I think there's a little bit of line equity here on BYU getting 12 and a half or 13.
All right, there with you. I love the conversations that we can have versus one they can have in those committee rooms. It's certain schools, they just won't, but they don't examine some of those things like you just did with Texas Tech. Very quickly, you mentioned you like Virginia. They're weighing 3.5 against Duke, high total of 57.5. Do you think this is a runaway for the Cavaliers or a close one?
I don't know if it's a runaway, but 3 weeks ago, they played Duke on the road in Durham. They won 34-17, and from a box score standpoint, it wasn't even that close. They outgained Duke by 300 yards in that game. So, you know, Virginia's a team that I haven't liked throughout most of the season. I thought they were very lucky, especially from a fumble luck standpoint early on in the year. Won some really close games, stuff like that. But they've just been solid throughout. You know, they've wound up being a really good team here. And so I do think that Virginia wins and covers this game. I think that Duke's a little bit fraudulent at this point in time. Maybe a little bit of a home advantage for them playing in Charlotte. But I think, you know, the fact that we just saw Virginia dominate the box score 3 weeks ago, I would find it hard to believe that things have changed that much between these two teams.
Adam, appreciate it as always. Great job as our managing editor here at VSiN. Wednesdays with Wes. What does he think about Indiana and Ohio State? That's next here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, enjoyed the conversation with Adam Burke in the last segment. Jensen, I don't want to give away the store completely, but I do have a game, it's not going to be a big surprise to you, that I absolutely love coming up this weekend in the NFL. And, you know, I've got a security guard here when I come into the Mint Gaming Hall each and every day. Very nice gentleman. And he always asks me about the Buffalo Bills. So our conversations go to the Buffalo Bills a lot of times. and we were talking about how they're back. I don't think they're back. I love the Bengals getting 5.5 this week up there in Orchard Park. I think that's a coin flip game. I think the Bengals might win the game outright. So I'm not going to say that too loudly because, you know, he could be right outside listening to the program right now. Yeah. But I do like the Bengals a lot in this spot, getting 5.5 in Buffalo. Is there any game on the NFL docket that you absolutely love right now?
I feel like Green Bay, I think they're finally going to stick it to Chicago. Again, nothing crazy or official there yet, but that one is intriguing. I told you about Indianapolis being a survivor play on Jacksonville because it's been a house of horrors. I wonder what the great Wes Reynolds would think about the Indianapolis Colts headed into Duval County this weekend.
Let's have that conversation right now with the aforementioned Wes Reynolds. Our Wednesdays with Wes. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds and the number one. Joins us here in Progressive Guest Line. Wes, when I see that Colts game, your Colts, if you will, down there in Duval, and we know the house of horrors it's been there, what do you make of the Colts this week if Danny Dimes is still on one bad leg?
Yeah, guys, this is the old CNC music factory. This is the things that make you go, play when you look at it. Not quite as big of a hit as Everybody Dance Now, but still a big hit for that group. But you look at the number and you have the Indianapolis Colts who have lost 3 of 4. You have Jacksonville who's won 3 in a row, including their last two. The Colts have not won down there at Everbank Field since 2014, last time Indianapolis beat Jacksonville on the road. You have a quarterback with a bad wheel and a darn near broken stick. And the Colts are favorite on the road, -1.5. So that's a number where it's like, oh, my gosh, the wrong team is favorite. You're going to hear that all week. I think everywhere you consume any content or listen to any breakdown of this game, you're going to hear, well, the wrong team's favorite. So it's kind of like a, why are they favorite? Well, I think there's a reason why. And I'm going with that reason. I do like Indianapolis to get right here. They have fallen on hard times, which we kind of thought that they would, that it would get tougher later in the season because the schedule is getting more difficult. You know, there are no Raiders or Cardinals or Titans on the schedule anymore. Now you're playing all teams that are in playoff contention.
Always great when we line up on some of these sides, Wes. And that aforementioned Green Bay and Chicago matchup is one I just told Dave before we brought you on here. That if I was looking for a convicted spot, does the clock run out on Chicago finally? Does this Green Bay defense present much more of a challenge? I think it does. Do you like the points here with the Packers at home at Lambeau?
Yeah, and it's a big number, Jensen, laying 6.5. So that's another one where it's like, this is almost too good to be true because the Bears defeat the defending champions here and ended up winning by some margin there at the end, winning by 9. But I think Chicago, when we've talked about this on previous shows, they've been living off these turnovers for a long time. And eventually that's got to be put to a halt. And I think it does get put to a halt here with Green Bay, because I do think a lot of the bettors are going to be a little lukewarm to lay this Packer team, simply because if you remember a couple of weeks ago, they were laying almost 2 touchdowns Carolina and got beat outright. But I think this Green Bay defense an upgrade, and I think the offense seemingly found some rhythm against Detroit, you know, where it's like they're finally letting Jordan Love like throw the football down the field. You know, this isn't just, you know, okay, play in the phone booth and gradually move the chains. They're letting him chuck it down the field finally, and it worked against Detroit on Thanksgiving. I think they do the same here.
I kind of like your next play a lot. You know how big of a fan I am of Seattle this year and what they've been able to do, but they're going to the ATL. Feels like a dead team coming off a loss against the Jets. Although Kirk Cousins did play better in that loss for the ATL. Now they're catching over a touchdown here, 7.5 in certain spots. You know, Seattle a couple weeks ago down there in Tennessee kind of gave up the backdoor cover. Do you see a scenario playing out like that Seattle might win, but not cover over a touchdown and a half point?
Yeah, I do, Dave. And I think this is fading that team off a shutout win. And it's one of those old true angles in the National Football League. A team gets inflated out of shutting out another team. And they did that to Minnesota with Max Brosmer, the late round pick out of Minnesota, making his first start. And it was not pretty for the Vikings. You know, they kept turning it over. They couldn't move the ball. Seattle really wasn't that sharp offensively. They just kept getting good field position, and that was enough. So now you're laying to a team that lost to the putrid Jets, one of the worst teams in the league. This is where I'll buy a little bit low on Atlanta. I think Seattle has been good in these situations where they go on the road for these early Sunday kickoffs, and that goes all the way back to Pete Carroll. But I just thought this number was a bridge too far, and maybe a little bit of inflation you're getting off the shutout win.
I feel that's a great angle on it too there, Wes. Okay, so it's the first time that I can remember that you don't have College game day at a number one versus number two matchup. And sadly, I will not be able to join you this weekend when everyone descends upon Indianapolis for this titanic tilt between Ohio State and Indiana. Let me get your thoughts, because the Hoosiers, it feels like, have been flying under the – it's the most under-the-radar two team that I think we've seen, at least to finish a season, in a long time. Of course, we get the build-up for Ohio State, Michigan. Yeah, we had Ryan Day finally get his first win over the Wolverines. Is this still too big of a number in your mind, being objective, looking at Ohio State, what they've done covering, and that really historic defense from Matt Patricia? How does Indiana stay inside this number? And what does Fernando Mendoza and company need to do against this Buckeye offense?
Yeah, I think the number is right, Jensen. That's right around where I made it, and between 3 and 6, so 4.5, 5. I think that's the right number. So I don't think you're getting any line value either way, but it's going to be a big day in Indianapolis. Look, one of the bigger days in IU Athletics history. We got the doubleheader that we're doing on Saturday. We got Louisville for basketball over there at the field house. And then Ohio State, of course, at Lucas Oil at 8:00. So, a lot of red descending on Indianapolis from three different schools. So looking forward to that. But I think in terms of the game, look, this is the biggest game for Indiana. And I think that this game just matters a little bit more because this is a chance to win a Big Ten title. And even with conference championship games kind of being ruled, I don't want to say obsolete, but the way this playoff system is, the importance has been greatly reduced, but not for Indiana because they have not won the Big Ten title since 1967. So this is huge for Indiana. This is a real big deal to us. I don't know how it is to Ohio State. It's probably just another game to those guys because those guys are in big games every single year. But I think from a matchup standpoint, it's pretty even between these two teams. If you really look at the numbers, you could look at the general numbers, total offense, total defense. You could look at the advanced numbers when you get into EPA and success rate and all the advanced football statistics, very, very even. But I think on the Indiana side, one thing that I think is a little bit of a feather in their cap here is that they've been in a couple tight games this season. The Oregon game, the Iowa game in Iowa City, the Penn State game. Ohio State, really, since the Texas game, which was the season opener all the way back in August, has not been tested. And I think that's a testament to how good that they really are as a team and on both sides of the ball, and they're defending national champions. But I wonder how they're going to be if this game gets late. Julian Sayin is very talented, but he's still a redshirt freshman, and Fernando Mendoza, a senior, and maybe the Heisman's going to be decided in this matchup. Indiana, I think, has been a little bit better equipped in these late game situations because they've been in these late game situations, and Ohio State for the better part of 3 months hasn't been tested. So we'll see if that materializes. I took the points. I took the money line. Part of that is homerism because I'm going to be in attendance, but I think this is Indiana's time. I really do. I believe that they're going to win the game here. I think that, that they're just as good as these guys. And I think they've proven it all season long.
All right, so you're going to be in attendance in Indianapolis. You were out there at Outson Stadium when they upset Oregon early in the year. Will you wear the same gear, or will it be a different red sweater? Will it be Bobby Knight-esque when you go to Indianapolis this weekend?
It might be the little varsity letter jacket from Home Field Apparel at with the IU that we might have to break out for this special occasion. This is the biggest game in Indiana football history, certainly over the last several decades. And just the ticket prices, by the way, this is a really, really hot ticket. I know everybody will put that data out there on the X, but this is several hundred bucks just to get in the joint.
You're going to be there. You're the good luck charm, Wes. Good luck this weekend. We appreciate your time always here, our Wednesdays with the great Wes Reynolds. If you want more VEASAN here, when we're done, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, You, all you have to do is go to the VEASAN Watch app and check it out. We've got a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. They are up next.